Hi, this is Ryan Craddock from Prince and Tigers, and you're listening to the D Flying Dixie Podcast.
Welcome back to the D Fly and Dixie Podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group, featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, my old Hopkins buddy, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. Dixie, as we hit mid-March, starting to see conference action open up, and we'll preview the biggest games of the week and talk to Princeton goalkeeper Ryan Craddock on his superstar to the season as he and the Tigers get set for their big game against Cornell, the biggest game of the week. Lots to get to, so Dixie, let's get it. Dixie, what's going on?
The whip is still strong. I love it. Keeps getting better. It's what you want to do at this stage of the season as you wind up your out-of-conference play and gear up towards conference clashes. You want to keep getting better, and that whip just keeps getting better and better. Consistency. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Dix, we have a lot of friends who coach cross in college, and one of them is our old buddy, Todd Cavallaro. I want to start by giving him a shout out. He became the all-time wins leader at Franklin and Marshall College this past week. 161st win in his 18th. Can you believe he's been there 18 seasons?
Hard to believe.
It is. It's time flies. He passed Ross Sachs, longtime F&M coach, who did it in 21 seasons. Cavi did it in a few less. Congrats, Cavi, on a milestone.
It's a great accomplishment. His wife Michelle reached out to our, me and Brian Piccola, Eric Chick, Carmen Cavallo. We're close with Cavi. We text every day, multiple times a day, and gave us the heads up. But not before Patrick Daddy Russell sent me the APB. Pat's 89 grad of Hopkins, and his son played for Cavi, Todd Cavallaro, at Franklin and Marshall. So it was on our radar. So when Michelle reached out, we're all kind of like, we knew this. What do you don't think we follow his career? And although if it wouldn't have been for Daddy, probably would not have realized that he was on the precipice of history. But nice win over Sewanee, and congratulations to Cavi. Like, great teammate, great friend. Everybody remembers his Hopkins playing days. Undersized, but that roll dodge was patented and legendary. And Corning East guy, so steak and potatoes kind of guy. Great family, and we couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, Cavi and I, obviously we were friends at Hopkins, but then we were roommates at Washington College. He was
coaching, I remember that.
He was assistant for Coach John Hawes when Hawsey was the head coach at Washington College. And we lived together in a house across the street from campus and had a really fun time. He helped the Washington College Shoremen win a national championship and get to the Final Four multiple times. And he hopes to do that with the Dips this season. And if you plan to go, we have a deal for our listeners. The men's and women's NCAA championship weekends are heading back to Gillette Stadium, held jointly for the first time since 2017. From May 23rd to May 26th, there is nowhere else in the lacrosse world to be than Foxborough, Massachusetts, for 8 of the best and most impactful games of the season. Action starts Friday with the women's D1 semifinals and continues on Saturday with the men's D1 semis. Then a championship action starts Sunday with men's D2, men's D3, women's D1, culminating Monday afternoon with the men's D1 final. This year, Inside Lacrosse is proud to partner with the NCAA to offer you, our loyal listeners, $5 off all single-day ticket options by using the code ILPOD at checkout. So head to ncaa.com/laxtickets and enter ILPOD, ILPOD, at checkout to purchase your tickets. You know you're going to championship weekend, so why not get $5 off? Help us show the NCAA how awesome our DFly and Dixie listeners are by purchasing your tickets today using our promo code. Once again, that's ncaa.com/lactickets, the promo code ILPOD at checkout for $5 off your tickets. Dixie, Speaking of coaches, the 9-11 Savage Devils took home the championship, undefeated season on Saturday afternoon. It was a really cool experience to do with my daughter Hannah. It was a special day for the Flins. Celebrated
Congratulations.
on, thank you. And then we celebrated on Sunday with a team party at Grotto's Pizza in Columbia, Maryland.
Ah,
Good
Grotto's, can't
times.
go wrong.
Good times all around.
I saw the results on social media. I believe I expressed my congratulations. I'll say it
Man.
again. What was the you guys have been steamrolling teams. Did
We
the
were.
competition tighten up in the
Yes.
postseason?
Yeah, so it's a little complicated. There's a 10-team league, but three of the teams are from our area, the Savage, Maryland area, and play for the Savage Girls and Boys Club in the 9-11 league. And then compete against seven other Howard County teams in a co like a allied league, they call it. And we've had to play another Savage team for the second time. And that team had gave us our two best games of the season. And we eked out a 17-15 win. Yeah, it was an exciting day. When my daughter ran and jumped into my arms when we won the championship, it was something I will never forget. So that was
That's
really cool.
wonderful.
Yeah, it was
That's
great.
great.
Let's get back to the lacrosse action. There are four top 20 games this week and a couple rivalry games that just missed it. One team is in the top 20. One team's like getting votes, but just out. We'll highlight some of those. Three of these games feature series that stretch back a whole century. So these are long-time rivalries. And it gets started on Saturday at noon when number 8 Duke, 7-1 on the season, will travel to Richmond, Robins Stadium, take on University of Richmond, who is 5-2. The game's at noon. It's on ESPN Plus. Richmond beat Duke in their first meeting back in 2016, but Duke has won the last eight, including a pretty easy 12-3 victory last year. But most of these games have been pretty close, and I expect this one to be a very tight game.
This Richmond team dropped a couple spots or dropped a spot or two in the poll, but it wasn't because of their lack of performance. It was just we saw some surprising results from other teams that leapfrogged them a little bit in the poll. But they came off of a workman's like effort against UMBC last weekend. Again, Lucas Littlejohn is their offensive stud, if you will, but Max Marklinger had 6 points. And the only losses on the year are to Maryland and Cornell. And the Maryland game, they got blitzed out of the gate. And then finally, when they settled down, they played the Terps even. And then they had a lead against Cornell. And the Big Red were able to make some plays and catch the Spiders in the end. But the win over Virginia continues to be a benchmark win, even with the Cavaliers' struggles. And the Wahoos got back on track last weekend with a win over Towson. It'll be interesting to see how Duke defends the Richmond Spiders, how the face-off battle will play out. Duke was able to rebound with a win over Air Force last weekend and a Providence win earlier this week. So Duke has recovered from that loss to Princeton 3 in a row. Their clearing has been a little bit of a problem. And Richmond rides very hard. So we'll see how that plays out. And yeah, I think there's just a lot of question marks in this game when you're trying to still figure Duke out. I think at this point of the season, relative to seasons past, I feel like nobody really knows who Duke is. Like, okay, you know who some of the guys are, but they're not these, Michael Sowers. It's not that. It's not the Brennan O'Neills, guys that have been there for a long time. Kenny Brower. These are some guys who have contributed, but now are doing more so in a much grander fashion on a larger scale, and that's not immune to, to other teams that are experiencing this post-COVID and post the 5th years and all that stuff. But Duke is that one that when I look at them, I'm just kind of like, I really don't know what to make of this team just yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've talked about this as a theme this season that so many well-known household names graduated, have moved on. and there's fresh faces and new stars emerging. And we've seen that across a lot of different teams. Our guest today, Ryan Kraddick, is a perfect example that a new Princeton goalie has had having an awesome start to the season. But at Duke, who's the guy? Who are the emerging stars for the Duke Blue Devils? They have a bunch of, starting with this game against Richmond, some high profile games coming up, and we should see who those emerging stars are for the Blue Devils in the coming weeks. All right, the biggest game of the week is also at noon, Dix. It is the Ivy opener for both teams as number two ranked Princeton will go to Ithaca to take on number six Cornell at noon. Fans can catch this on ESPN Plus. Interesting enough, this is a series, as you can imagine, two old Ivy League squads began more than 100 years ago, and it's tied. Each team has won 42 times. They've tied twice. Big Red have won the last four meetings, including, I think fans will remember this, a thrilling come from behind 15-14 win last year in Princeton when defenseman Matt Dooley scored his first career goal with just 1.6 seconds left in the game to capture a huge win for Cornell. This sets up to be one of the best games of the early season.
What's the Irish song by Kingston Trio? Tom Dooley, right? Isn't there a song called Tom Dooley or
I'm
some
sure
name with
there
the last
is.
name Dooley? Yeah, well, I'm just saying it's apropos. It's St. Patrick's Week, which
Yeah.
I didn't even realize because I've got travel this weekend. We'll talk about that later. With St. Patrick's Week, what a great person to celebrate a victory, Dooley.
Yeah.
So
And
this.
no one liked St. Patrick's Day as much as Big Red legend Richie Moran, RIP.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, without question. Cornell lost last week at home to Penn State. They were up 12-8 with only, I think it was about f under 5 minutes left, 4.5 minutes.
Crazy.
And I found out before the game, they lost to Penn State. I found out before the game that the entire starting attack for Penn State wasn't playing. So right away, you're like, okay, they're already going to Cornell. Ithaca was 25 degrees and windy at face-off, and Penn State's cooked. But what do the Nittany Lions do? They come back from that 12-8 deficit. Now, they were aided by a 2-minute non-releasable foul. And when I watched that back, it was just really unfortunate for Cornell because their face-off man, Kaskaden, was going for a ground ball. And then he didn't even see the Penn State wing coming in. And as he bent over to get the ground ball, that's where the contact took place. I thought it could have been maybe downgraded to a minute. I guess you could say non-releasable since it was helmet-to-helmet contact. But even if they would have gone a minute releasable, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. But all that aside, Cornell, they're looking to get back on track because that's the kind of loss that could really torpedo your season if you let it get to you. And I have to believe that Cornell will not allow this to derail their season. And it starts this coming Saturday at home against Princeton, a team that is all the way up to number two, I believe, in the Kane Inside Lacrosse media poll. And they're doing it with defense. You mentioned Kraddick between the pipes. But they have got some terrific defenders, Colin Molshine, Michael Both, other defenders that are kind of a no-name defense, if you will. And the offense gets all of the hype, but this defense is playing incredibly well and really, really good lacrosse. So this will be a fun game to watch. Hopefully the weather is a little bit better. I think we're having some kind of a warming trend on the East Coast this coming weekend. How will Cornell defend that attack for Princeton? And then the midfielders are getting it done as well. Guys like Tucker Wade and Chad Palumbo, how will they incorporate their poles and their short stick D matchups? This will be a fantastic game. Yeah, one that I'm looking forward to. I won't be able to watch it live, but I certainly will watch it back.
Yeah, so let's bring in the leader of that defense, the two-time Ivy League Defensive Player of the Week this season, Ryan Kraddick, as he prepares for that game. Please welcome into the show the junior goalkeeper for the Princeton Tigers, Ryan Craddock. Ryan, thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Ryan, thank you for joining us. It's great to sit down with you. The Princeton Tigers sitting at 4-1 overall, ranked number 2 in the Kane Inside Lacrosse media poll. How would you best describe the first 5 games for this Tiger team in 2025?
Yeah, I think our coach did a great job of giving us a pretty tough schedule to begin the season. Typically, we start the season with Monmouth and Manhattan, some local competition, and we started off with Penn State getting an overtime win. And I just think that having these big games in the early part of the season and winning them means a lot, just because you can learn from these wins, just because the teams are so talented, and also it's great for RPI and just playing tougher teams.
So your first game of the season, and it's your first career start, you're playing Penn State. Not only is that a really good team with a potent offense, but you're playing indoors. How much of a challenge was it playing it at Hull of a Hall?
Yeah, it was definitely just like a different environment, and like the walls were super white. We have an indoor bubble over our football field here, and the lighting's pretty funky as well. So we tried as best to train in there the weeks leading up, and then we used these like neon green balls during the game. That was definitely interesting to me, but it was nice and warm in there. So it was pretty easy heating up and just getting used to the ball and the lighting.
Did a neon green ball help, or was it an adjustment in a negative way?
I definitely think it helped, and I do think it's something that the game will slowly adopt towards, just for in general.
One secret, if you're ever having a bad day, whether it's rain, snow, or else or whatever else, just tell the ref you can't see the ball. They'll have to stop the game because of safety. Just a
Really?
little trick of the trade.
Wow.
Goalie is a position that only one guy can play during a game. And being a goaltender, especially at a place like Princeton where you have other talented netminders, you kind of have to wait your turn. How much of a challenge is that? And what would your advice be to younger goaltenders who are in the position that you used to be in, kind of waiting their turn?
Yeah, I definitely think at first it's a real challenge playing from high school and being just one of the best guys in the country and being like the guy playing pretty much every game, to going to college, practicing is a lot harder, a lot better shooters, and just having to wait your turn to eventually get the shot, even if that's remotely possible. So I would say after the first couple months or first year, it got a lot easier, and sort of I understood that it would be 2 years for me to wait to eventually play, because I was sitting behind Mike Giamfracaro, a great goalie in his own right. And so I really tried to work on the mental piece of goaltending, try to master that, as well as training physically. So my advice would just sort of be to stay the course, because and be as ready as possible, just so when you get that chance, you make the most of it.
Ryan, coming into the season, many people thought Princeton's offense was going to be amazing, and it has been. There were a couple question marks. One was who was going to play goal. You've won that job and proved to be an outstanding standing goalkeeper and one of the strengths of the Tigers team this season. But some of it was also like in the midfield, defensive midfield, defense. Who are some of the players who have emerged for the Tigers at the defensive midfield position, defense, that people need to know? Because I think a lot of times the attack unit gets a lot of the credit at Princeton.
Yeah, definitely. We have two very talented sophomore defensive midfielders that are also both two-sport athletes. One is Cooper Mueller, who just walked on as a practice player on the basketball team, and then Jackson Green, who came from the football team. He was recruited as a football player. And those two guys are just unbelievable athletes, having those backgrounds with basketball being very similar to lacrosse, and then just pure athleticism from both sports. And I think they've added a new layer of transition offense and just being all around athletes and just winning their matchups.
You guys now enter conference play with a tough test ahead, playing a Cornell team that's coming off of a tough loss. Is there a mindset shift at all heading from non-conference competition into the conference slate?
Yeah, 100%. I think our mindset going into non-conference play is just trying to seize every opportunity we get, because not a lot of there's not much like rivalry or anything, but just being able to play the best team in the country. And then going to conference play, there's definitely like some bad blood. We haven't beaten Cornell in 4 years. It's just everything has just turned up a notch, and so we really got to focus in. Because a lot of those games can get away from you with the heated emotions.
Yeah, so the game against Cornell, biggest game of the week in college across this weekend. You guys have had a chance to watch some film, digest that, put in a practice plan without giving too much away. What does Princeton need to do this weekend to get a win in Ithaca?
I would say we just need to stick to our game plan, sort of just stay the course. I think that's one thing Coach Mads preaches. Lacrosse is a game of runs. Just weather the storm and just be able to bounce back. Because I mean, guys like CJ Kirst, Mikey Long, they're gonna score goals. It's just how we bounce back from that and just weather the storm, and we should be good this weekend.
Being a goalie at Princeton, there's been an excellent lineage of netminders up in Jersey. You just mentioned Mike Gianfrancaro. Are there some other guys that you looked up to growing up, and some of those alum, do they ever reach out to you? Or let you know that they're thinking of you or support you.
Yeah, definitely 100%. I think one thing that Princeton does so well is just has an amazing alumni network. And just after my first game and after games during the season, I've just had constant support of guys reaching out. And then I would say Princeton has like alumni program, mentorship program, and I got paired up with some alumni goalies who won some national championships and have been super inspiring to me through their work and also just their lacrosse careers.
So you mentioned how Cornell has guys like Mike Long and Hugh Kelleher, guys who've been playing for more than 4 years at Cornell, 5th years, even a 6th-year player. But Princeton can't do that. There's a couple of Ivy League schools who can't. Do you keep in touch with some of the other Princeton grads? Sam English, who was on the team, graduated 2 years ago and is playing at Syracuse. A number of guys playing at Michigan, Duke, Mike G at UNC. You keep in touch with those guys? And does you ever wonder what the team might look like if all of those guys could still be playing in Princeton?
Yeah, I think that's totally something that always crossed my mind, and definitely do keep in touch. I mean, me and Mike were super close, both goalies here, both very close, always at practice, and just were really close friends, and texted each other before and after the UNC game, which was really cool. But you honestly can only say too much, just because we're both super competitive. But yeah, I would say, after the Rutgers game, we played Joe Jungerkis, who was on our team last year, and he said something to Coach Madelon that was, I would do anything to be on this field with you guys if I had the opportunity. And I think that's what a lot of guys are feeling, but they're also just super competitive athletes and are playing for their right school because they can't play here at Princeton.
All right, this question comes from a listener. A listener, Mike G, asked this question. Which is more fun, goalie trivia or watching Coach Mad shooting and dodging in position work?
I love goalie trivia. Just Mike started that a couple of years back, and he would ask. He's such a lacrosse rat, and would ask us these impossible lacrosse trivia questions that every Friday. That was always funny. And my freshman year, our senior goalie Griffin Rackauer knew nothing about lacrosse, got every single question wrong, and it was always just a good laugh on Friday. And then position work with Coach Mads. My freshman year, we had Chris Islanian helping out. Volunteer coach, he shot on us, and it was like shooting 100 miles an hour, lefty and righty. And then the following year, Coach Mads was warming us up, like just I wouldn't say out of shape, but sweating a little bit too much, and just getting super tired, giving us as much reps as trying to emulate as a PLL player. So I think that's always a laugh.
All right, you ready for some quick hitters, Ryan?
Yep.
All right, here's some quick hitters. What's your favorite sports team?
New York Giants.
Where is the best food in Princeton, New Jersey?
Would say olives.
What's your favorite thing about Princeton University?
Let's say the people.
You're from Rumson, New Jersey. What's the
Yep.
best beach in all of Jersey?
Chapel Beach Club.
Where is your favorite restaurant to eat a team meal on the road?
Maggiano's.
Who's the best chef on the Princeton Tigers?
Kobe Ginder.
What's his specialty?
Barbecue.
All right, if we walk into the Tigers locker room right now, who's running the aux and what's playing?
Ooh. I would say it's either there's a big contingent of like country guys, southern guys, or McKnight Patterson playing some good either classic rock or house music.
All right, last question. This is the most important one. From Jersey, you get either Springsteen or Bon Jovi. Who are you taking?
Springsteen, 100%.
None of the above.
Nobody asked you, Dix. Nobody asked
That's
you.
true.
He
That is
has an
true.
inf he's a he's a Jersey resident. He has an informed opinion. He's an
I
expert on
understand.
this. You're just a
I
poser.
respect it.
You're just
I'll
a
let that, I'll
poser.
allow
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the D-Fly Dix podcast. Best of luck to you and the Tigers this weekend and throughout the season.
Thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, Ryan. Fine young man.
For sure.
They got a big game. Again, that game is number two Princeton at number six Cornell at noon on ESPN Plus. A reminder that the D-Fly and Dixie podcast is brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group. For more information on Simplicity Group, go to simplicitygroup.com. All right, Dix, let's get back to the game previews. Game you're going to be at. You're going to Ann Arbor this weekend to see number seven, Notre Dame, 3-2, take on the number 22 ranked Michigan Wolverines. They're just outside of the Kane Media top 20, receiving votes. They're 4-3. This is a 1 o'clock, and you'll be live on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I can't wait. Jack Kaiser and I will have the call from Ann Arbor. Look, Notre Dame was a team that was number one coming into this season, and then it was kind of everybody else. And we've seen that the Irish are not immune to the roster losses that other teams have experienced. When you look at the loss to Ohio State at home, where is Notre Dame? Where's their transition game? They've kind of changed their identity over the last couple of seasons from a half field, 6-on-6, settled offensive team to more of a get up and down the field and take risks. And the Cavanaugh brothers have played a major role in that, but they also had other players that helped fuel that. So it's basically, can they get some transition going? Can they get some unsettled opportunities? And this game against Ohio State, we said it was going to be what, 11-8? It ended up being 10-9. And I would have had 11-8 Notre Dame, but it was 10-9 Ohio State. You got to tip your cap to the Buckeyes and the run that they put together over the last several weeks. But I think that Notre Dame, for the second week in a row, when Chris Kavanaugh can't put on the Superman cape, who can step up and make some plays on the offensive end of the field? I watched the second half of this game back, and I thought their defense was really good. And their goaltender, Richard Dely, who I thought was really outplayed by Logan McNaney in the Maryland game, more than held his own. I believe he had 20 saves, 21 saves in that game. So the defense is terrific. Richard Dely is playing good between the pipes. And it's a Michigan team that was, they basically got kinged last weekend. Sam King, the leader of that Harvard offense, exploded for a tremendous fourth quarter and led the Crimson to victory over the Wolverines. So this is a hungry game for both of these teams. Notre Dame trying to end a two-game skid and go 0 for 3 in three consecutive games against Big Ten opponents. Michigan is trying to get that signature win that they need on their resume should things not work out for them in the Big Ten tournament. Brian Cohen is a terrific offensive player. Hunter Taylor's been good between the pipes. I think this one has all the makings of a slugfest, a lower scoring, knockdown, drag them out kind of game. And I think grit and mental toughness are going to be the two things that separate the winner from the loser.
Catch all the action, 1 o'clock, Dixie on the Big Ten Network. Another Ivy League game that feels like it's definitely taking a back seat to the big one, Princeton and Cornell. But this game is a bigger rivalry when Yale travels to Cambridge to take on a number 13 ranked Harvard Crimson, 1 o'clock on ESPN Plus. Yale got its first win, circled the wagons last week. Got a win over a top 20 team in the Denver Pioneers. And this opens the Ivy season for both of these teams.
Yale did what they needed to do at home last week. They not only beat the Denver Pioneers, but they controlled that game from start to finish. And Yale finally put together a solid effort. I'm sure Coach Andy Shea would not say it was a 60-minute effort, but more minutes were positive than not. So tip your cap to the Bulldogs and Handsome Dan getting that W. Harvard is 4-1. And when you look at their body of work, thank goodness for Sam King. I mean, they have other players that are terrific. Sam King, he's playing at a first team All-American level right now. He is fantastic. And he leads an offense that averages, I believe, over just over 15 goals a game. But the defense gives up 14 goals a game. And that continues to be a concern for the Crimson. My biggest concern for Harvard in this weekend's game is they're only winning about 34% of their faceoffs. So they're going to face a Yale team that is talented at the dot, not dominant, but they're better on paper. And you just feel like losing that much face, losing all those faceoffs, and then the defense giving up what they've given up, that's going to break at some point. It's been, we saw it break against Colgate, but we've seen it stabilize over the last couple of weeks. That's not a way to continue. So Harvard's going to have to figure out something at the faceoff, because that defense are just getting a ton of pressure put on them at this juncture of the season.
Yeah, big game for both teams. And it's a game that each of these programs always want to win against their top rival.
And look, this Ivy League, with the way Dartmouth has been playing this season, I mean, you really have to be impressed. They're 5-1. But they've, and look, the wins are not eye poppers, but the fact that Dartmouth is 5-1 playing with a ton of confidence, he's taken his magic offense from University of Virginia. They're just under 50% on the extra man. So, seven teams play Ivy League men's lacrosse. This is top to bottom. This is a conference that any of those teams can make that tournament, can make that postseason party. So anyhow, I just thought I'd throw that in there because obviously this is gigantic being a conference game, but now with the Big Green improved, they're in the mix to grab one of those berths.
All right, Dix, there's one more huge game featuring top 20 teams on Saturday. It'll be at 4 o'clock. You can watch it live on the ACC network. Number one, Maryland takes on number 18, Virginia in Charlottesville. The first time these teams met was back in 1926. So this marks the 100th year of this vintage ACC, now non-conference rivalry. The Terps lost the regular season meeting a year ago, but got revenge in the NCAA semifinals. You may remember, went in 12-6 to advance the championship game. And that was the Terps' fourth win in the last five meetings. If you're talking about who's more desperate, it's obviously Virginia needs this win at home against the Terps on Saturday.
For sure. And yes, I do remember last year's semifinal win by the Maryland Terrapins. This will be on ACC Network, as you mentioned. It'll be Anish Quentin Clark on the call. And right now, I think Maryland is the most complete team in college lacrosse. They are number one. But aside from that, the effort that we've seen them over the last couple of weeks, the way they've won games, beating Notre Dame by one goal at a neutral site, and then just really strangling, suffocating a Delaware offense, 14-3. Logan McNaney's playing at a high level. The defense really hasn't missed a beat with the departure of Ajax Apatello. I think Longstick Mitty has been upgraded with the continual evolution of players like AJ Larkin. And then offensively, the transfers have fit in really nicely. So they're playing terrific lacrosse. Virginia, on the other hand, got a big win, neutral site win last week in Texas against Towson. Matt Noons got the start. Texas native got the start and played well. Who's going to start in goal? I think that's a good cat and mouse, a good guessing game that Maryland is going to have to play this week, because Kyle Morris and Matt Noons are two completely different styles of goaltending. So which one will the Terps get? I guess we'll find out this coming weekend. And then, Virginia was able to close that game out, which was great. We saw just a lack of poise in their loss to Johns Hopkins in the Doyle Smith Cup a couple weeks ago. And looks like they took a big step forward this past weekend. Containing McCabe Millen will be an objective. What midfielders can make plays for Virginia? Some of the bigger question marks heading into this one.
That's at 4 o'clock on the ACC network, and it caps the best games on Saturday. There's one game on Sunday, Dix, that jumps out as a top 20 matchup when the number 10 Ohio State Buckeyes, coming off maybe the most stunning result of the season last week, will travel to Denver, Colorado to take on the Pioneers, who are ranked number 20th this week. And Denver's looking for some answers.
They are. Their season has been rocky, no pun intended, up to this point. Look, Ohio State, it is incredible how they've rebounded from that opening season loss to Utah. I wasn't sure what to make of them after that result, and I saw them in the fall and I was impressed. Their defense has been as good as advertised. Bobby Van Buren is fantastic, and you have Cullen Brown and Kyle Foster in front of the Big Tasty. I think we said on this show a couple weeks ago that we felt like Tasty should be the starter. Well, guess what? He's rattled off six, seven straight wins, since regaining that starting position between the pipes for the Buckeyes. Liam White, I thought he was terrific in high school. I thought he was Boys Latin's best offensive player by far last year as they went to the MIAA championship. He's been wonderful. Alex Marinier is another great shooter, and he's continued his success. So this is must-win territory for the Pios. One, obviously, to get a quality out-of-conference victory, but two, to get your confidence and to gain some positive momentum going into the Big East play. For Ohio State, focus, which I don't think will be a problem after you lose at home to Utah. I don't think focus is going to be a problem for this Buckeye unit, and we'll see if they can continue to roll.
That game again is at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Ohio State and Denver. All right, Dixie, it's time for our give and go. You are heading to Ann Arbor this week. You travel a lot, especially during the springtime covering games. We live in Howard County, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's between Baltimore and DC beltways, just to the west of the beltways and also BWI Airport. Southwest Airlines has a hub in BWI, which again is like 15-minute drive from my house. It's very convenient for me to get probably 20, 25 minutes from where you live. Really easy to get in and out of BWI. And you can fly just about anywhere. You can get a direct flight on Southwest from Baltimore just about anywhere. I have a Southwest like points reward credit card. But they're changing their policies, the things that make Southwest Southwest. One, they're changing the seating policy. We won't have open seating anymore. But they just announced this week that they're going to start charging for bags checked. This is the same airline who used to say, "Why do they hate your bags?" There was like a feature of this airline. So I want to get your thoughts on the travel changes from our favorite airline, and then what are some alternatives?
Yeah, I'm disappointed because Southwest is half of the airport at BWI. Prior to that, I was a US Air customer. And I know US Air was, I think American may have purchased them or bought them out. But in any event, what made Southwest, they're getting away from that. And I think I read somewhere, I know I read somewhere that I guess a meeting of leadership got so hot over the last few months or within the last few months that whatever financing was backing Southwest, like members of that company, like five or six of them became on, went onto the board of Southwest Airlines to make sure that this company was more profitable. But yeah, buy, bags fly free. That's the tagline. And yeah, did it get a little crummy with you pretty much had to buy early bird check-in to just make sure. Make sure you didn't get into that second half of B, C boarding groups, right? But I'm A-list, so that's a bummer for me because I don't have to do that. And when I travel with people, whether it be my wife or members of my family, they don't have to do the early bird because my wife doesn't mind sitting in a middle seat. And, I typically get a pretty darn good seat, so we can sit next to each other. But what are the alternatives? I am flying Delta this weekend because I'll fly into Detroit to go to Ann Arbor, and Delta is, I think that's their main hub, is Detroit. So there's just a lot more flights. And then I'm actually flying to Raleigh-Durham to catch Carolina-Jacksonville on Sunday. And just the amount of direct flights, Delta to Raleigh, just put, Southwest to shame. It's just not an easy trek from that airport to Raleigh without having to make a connector. So it's going to be interesting to see what this does to Southwest, because not only are they customer friendly in these quote unquote deals, but the crews for Southwest, 95% of the time, are just awesome. I mean, just nice people, happy, energetic. They do everything they can to make the flight enjoyable. So this is, I don't know, where do you go? Do you go Delta? Do you go American? I tell you, a company that looks like they've ramped up their efforts to try to get some people to come over is Spirit. But I mean, I don't know if you've ever flown Spirit before. I haven't. I've heard nothing but very negative things about Spirit.
Same.
So I don't know what I'm going to.
I thought the slogan for Spirit is "We suck the spirit right out of you." That's
Well,
that
that
seems to be
lines up
the,
with the experience that people I
yeah.
know have had with that airline.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a little annoying that every person who gets on the microphone on a Southwest air flight thinks that they're a stand-up comedian. But I do like the lighthearted approach to announcements that everyone has to hear over and over and over again. My next door neighbor across the street from me, the woman is a flight attendant for Southwest Airlines.
Oh, so you don't have anything to worry about.
Never been on a flight with her. You know,
Friends and
she
family.
flies all over the country. I don't know what her regular route is. I should probably ask her if she has
Yeah,
one.
you'll know now because, just
For sure.
Dan,
She did help us.
it's the A straight day. We're getting our mail at the same time.
Did
What are
you
the
hear
odds?
did I tell you that we missed an international our family missed an international flight to Costa Rica this summer and had to because of a Southwest policy that didn't seem to make any sense, and we ended up going to Jamaica instead. We just stayed at the airport, said, "Where else can you send us?" And they said, "Well, you can pick between these places." We said, "Let's just go to Jamaica. Let's see how it goes." And that's when Hurricane Beryl came through.
I
And
remember
we
that, yeah.
rode out a Category 5 hurricane in Jamaica this past summer. That was interesting times. But because of that, we used our neighbor helped us like navigate like how to get the most out of Southwest in return for that. So we have a bunch of credits for Southwest also. And I don't know how we're going to use them. Like this is a setback. My daughter said was talking about this. Somehow she heard. She's 11 and she was talking about Southwest's new bag policy and how that stinks. And my wife said, "Well, but I think they're adding some flights to Europe." I said, that's not a trade-off.
No.
How often do we check a bag going somewhere compared to travel to Europe? It's not like a one-to-one. Like I'd rather keep the bags fly free policy because we've definitely pushed the limits on that. We have the scale out, as I'm sure many families do, weighing the bags to be like, are we under 50 pounds? Moving stuff around as we go on like a long trip. But yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll have to see how it plays out.
I know what you could do with those credits. You could slide them right on over to me. I can use them.
Oh, that's
I'm
how it
qualifying.
works. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, little something, something.
Mr. A-list over here.
Yeah, I am on the A list, but that's not going to last much longer, right? Because unless I get preferred seating being a member of the A list, I
Yeah.
don't know.
Wherever you are, Dix, you're always on the A-list and you get preferred seating, I'm
Well, I
sure.
appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Right back at you.
Thanks. That seems like a good place to stop. Thanks again to our guest, Ryan Kradick of the Princeton Tigers. Best of luck to you this week and throughout the regular season. A reminder that the DeFly Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app, subscribe, hit the subscribe button, leave a review if you feel like it. Tell a friend, though. Tell a friend, share it. Share this podcast. Hit the little square with the arrow coming out of it. That's how you share the podcast and share the love. It's free. We always love to hear from you. Feel free to email us at dflyanddixie@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at dflyanddixie. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the games.